speaking today with Councilmember Jarvis Johnson, who is running for the Democratic nomination for Congressional District 18. Councilmember, we spoke a couple months ago when you were running for re-election for that office, so let me ask you, why are you now running for Congress?
Well, been on City Council. This is my third term. And while on City Council, I recognize that District B can do better in regards to the amount of money and then representation that the 18th Congressional District has to offer. District B sits 100% inside of the 18th Congressional District. We're not 100%, but close to it. A very large majority of the district sits inside the 18th. And so what I recognize is that there's so much more, such a tremendous opportunity to expand on what we're getting now. And so I recognize that there was no one stepping up to create challenge that would offer the constituents and the voters of the 18th Congressional District a choice. And so I run and am running based on what I believe is a missed opportunity for District B to bring more money, to bring a vision, and to bring a plan to solve many of the woes that that we're faced with right now. We lag way behind the nation in quality of life issues, dropout rate being close to 45%, the poverty rate being almost a quarter of the population. We lag far behind in home ownership. We lag far behind in unemployment. While this country is in a recession, the 18th Congressional District is in a depression. And so it, all that kind of ties back into my run and my tenure on City Council. Sustainable housing, to build quality neighborhoods that offer the opportunity for better education, that offer opportunity for more employment, that offer an opportunity for economic infusion. So all of that tied in together is then certainly why I am running for the 18th Congressional District.
All right, let's talk about that in a little bit more detail. What specific federal programs or federal funding opportunities do you think you would want to fight for to bring that sort of stuff to the 18th District? And what sorts of things do you think, what opportunities do you think have been missed in recent years that you think should have been taken advantage of?
Well, I think when you, in light of President Obama's recent speech in respect to, it is going to start, we are going to start tightening the belt. We're going to have a cap on the amount of spending that we will be doing. That we'll have to look very hard and take a very hard, close look at what monies that we will be spending in what areas. Number one, education should never be one of those areas that is ever cut or even frozen. We should always encourage more opportunity. In respect to what can we do, I truly believe in the area of job and job development, we certainly can look at creating now what we are, what the nation is looking at is these green job initiatives in which with the city of Houston and its tremendous growth and the tremendous opportunity for growth, there are more corporations that are looking at the city of Houston that are not impressed with what there certainly may be to offer currently in respect to our elected officials being able to come to the table and say, what tax incentive, what tax break, what incentive can we give to a corporation like yours to come here? Certainly, as we look at some of the federal stimulus dollars that were put in place for green jobs, we need to be ensuring that those dollars that were given to those companies will then in turn ensure that jobs were made available to the people who are around the corporation themselves. I'm going to attract many jobs, or certainly push to attract jobs and job growth and job development in the 18th Congressional District. That means I want to see people who live in the 18th Congressional District receive those jobs. When you look at what President Obama said about corporations, we need to give the incentive back to those companies not to send their jobs abroad, but then to bring them right here, back here to the United States. Once they come back to the United States, the point is that once they come back, We want to make sure that jobs are available for the people living in the 18th congressional district. My job as a city council member was to create job growth and job opportunity. It was to ensure our tax base was growing. My job will be as a congressman to improve our job base, to grow our job base so that we can bring families back into the district. That will then bring up the quality of life and making sure our school systems are in place, making sure that that there is job development for blue-collar jobs as well as white-collar jobs. So those are the types of things that we will do. I don't think that we've been able to, with the incumbent, to build a coalition with our colleagues right here in the city of Houston to be able to sit at the table and have true and meaningful dialogue to then go to these types of corporations and say, how may we provide for you to relocate yourself here to our city? I think we have a very unique opportunity in the type of democratic representation that we have to be able to be in Washington, D.C., to be able to build a strong, formidable relationship that then collectively, this is not about, well, that's your district, well, that's your district, well, this is my district. This is about us coming together because we all represent the region of the city of Houston. While we might have individual districts, we're all representing this same region. And so I think that's what we have missed. And what I believe that I bring to the table is an opportunity of doing that, not to compete with my colleagues, but to work with my colleagues to be able to build a strong city of Houston.
Okay. Obviously, the president spent a lot of time in the State of the Union address talking about jobs. I mean, but from a policy perspective, what sorts of things do you want to see in the bill that he's called on Congress to produce to encourage job growth? Do you want to see an emphasis on tax incentives? Do you want to see money being spent on specific programs? What sort of policy issues, what sort of policy items do you want to see in the bill that Congress is going
to
produce?
Well, I think what you just said, to provide the type of tax incentive to those corporations. Corporations need to be made whole in order if you want to bring them to your region. And so we want to give them the predictability that they need. That, I mean, we're talking not allowing these types of corporations to become fat cats, but simply to relocate themselves to the city of Houston and to our region. Yet we need to provide for you not only the type of marketing that we need to say who we are, but then to say what type of break can we give you from a federal standpoint and then certainly from a state standpoint. There needs to be something in place, and again, on the federal level, I want to make sure that we are taxing those who decide that it is more advantageous for them to move their corporations abroad. I think we need to send a strong and clear message that if you want to send your corporation abroad, then we're going to make sure that this nation is not hurt because you have decided to take money and make it an infusion into another country and build their economy while all the while coming back and then importing the goods back here. And the president mentioned very well, we need to be exporting as opposed to importing. And how do you do that? Create your corporations here. Provide the predictability and provide the incentive that these corporations need to stay right here. So on a policy level, yes, it has to be a multitude of different things, but it has to be delicate. I'm a businessman myself. I don't want to be taxed. I don't want to be told hey, we're going to tax you because you're making money. Well, that's not fair to me. I've put in my work. I've put in my hard time. I've put in my hard-earned money. Don't tax me to simply pay for another entity. But if I'm bringing jobs and opportunity, then certainly give me the incentive that I need to bring the type of corporation that I have to your city or to the nation, and then certainly to your region, state, whatever the case may be.
Okay. As we speak right now, the health care bill that has made it through both chambers is still in a state of limbo because the two bills don't match, and with the special election in Massachusetts, you know, the things seem to be somewhat up in the air about that. Obviously, one approach that could be taken to get a bill to the president's desk would be for the House to simply pass the Senate's bill and then get the Senate to address some of the issues that the House had in reconciliation. What approach do you want to see the House take to the health care bill?
Well, I think the President summed it up pretty well when he said, look, if you got a bill better than the one that's already out there, give it to me. And let's see how we might be able to come to a conclusion and a resolve to make sure that millions of Americans have health care. I certainly would love for not us just to simply pass the bill as it stands right now. You're taking public option out. I'm not quite sure if that's going to provide for the millions of Americans that are uninsured the type of coverage that they need. We're still putting the onus and the responsibility into a reactionary or an interventive medicine as opposed to a preventive medicine. Our healthcare system is in shambles because of the fact that so many people only go to the hospital or go to the doctor when something is ailing. And then when they find that, and that's most of the poor Americans of the country. They only go when something's ailing. And so therefore it leads to long-term ailments that then at the end of the day, the rest of Americans have to pay for. So I wouldn't want to see it happening just to simply get something passed to say we passed a health care bill. Are we addressing what we were intending to address? And that was to provide affordable health care to all of Americans, but making sure at least that those uninsured Americans have the availability or the option of having health care. And that's certainly what we need to focus our attention. So we got to put aside the partisanship and decide, look, if the issue is pay me now, pay me later. At some point or another, it will still hurt the pockets of all of America if we don't pass a health care bill, because at the end of the day, you're still going to find people are going to find a way into the hospital districts, into the local clinics, and it's still we still have to pay for that one way or another. So I would like to see a better proposal brought forth. I certainly would hope that the Senate would see it clear, but Massachusetts certainly has hurt the possibility of getting anything passed out of the Senate.
But if the Senate bill were brought before the House and you were serving in the House, would you vote for it?
That's a very tough and difficult question, but it goes back to what I said earlier. Maybe something is better than nothing. But do we get something and then hope to redefine it later?
That is the hope, anyway.
Quite possibly is where I probably would end up going. Because I truly believe in small victories. Because when you can't make, you just can't swallow it all at one time. You just got to take it one bite at a time. And so maybe this is one of those opportunities where we get it, it becomes a part of the American culture, and then we can redefine it and make it better.
Okay. An issue that a lot of people are hoping will come up in this Congress, and it does look like there are some signals, although it didn't necessarily come from the President, is immigration reform. What kind of policies do you want to see in a comprehensive immigration reform bill from Congress?
Well, certainly in respect to the DREAM Act, I support the DREAM Act 100%. You know, you have millions of immigrant undocumented children that are here in America have played a key and vital role to American society and certainly should have an opportunity of going on to college and becoming as productive members of society as adults as they were children. They have, you know, paved their way and done the work. They didn't ask to come. Families brought them. So we certainly want to make sure that, you know, I support that. In respect to the reform, I truly believe that we do need to get a handle on this. Am I one to say let's build a wall and make sure we keep people out? That's not going to keep people out. I mean, we're going to spend money frivolously to simply say let's barricade ourselves in to keep others out. I truly believe that we do need to fix this system that certainly does let people from other countries in and stay for extended periods of time without being documented. We have to get a handle on this streamline this process, to quicken this process, so that people can become citizens, and so they're not being taken advantage of by the labor force that's out there that are paying them slave wages, if you will, and where families are having to live in multitude just simply to make ends meet. I think that at the end of the day is what has destroyed, it has destroyed the morale of many people, and certainly oftentimes destroys the morale of many neighborhoods. And so we do need to have reform. I'm certainly going to be very supportive of reform. What that reform looks like, it certainly doesn't include just building a wall, but it certainly includes streamlining our processes so that we can get people processed quicker than what they are. We still have to address who's already here.
Okay.
Do we start with them first and then move? But we have to make sure that we tighten our belts and we tighten our restrictions.
As you know, Intercontinental Airport is in your city council district and also in the 18th congressional district.
Yes.
We know over Christmas there was the incident with the so-called underpants bomber. What is your evaluation of how the federal government has reacted to that, and what is your evaluation of the new security measures that are in place in airports like Intercontinental to deal with threats like that?
You know, it's very difficult to be so big brother that we can stop every whacked out or whack job that's out there that wants to try to take down a plane for his own reason or his or her own reason. I truly believe that the way we reacted was on point. It was quick. It was swift. What did we do moving forward? I think there was obviously there was some oversight that in regards to if we had knowledge, if we had information that gave us a clue that this person may have may be a threat. Where does that buck stop? Is it at the higher levels, or was it down from the TSA workers that are warning them and let them through the metal detectors? Those are the types of questions that, you know, I don't know. And at the end of the day, you know, we certainly, how much tighter in respect to beyond now the intrusion of strip searches, how far can we go without having the new technology in place to stop these kind of individuals that are, you know, taking the type of measures to blow up a plane? Next, you're going to find people are going to start ingesting, you know, these type of chemicals. And, you know, the same way they start bringing in drugs, you know, will we start to see that? You know, will we start to see those scenarios? So I think it's our war on terrorism has to start before they make it to the airport. Before they make it to the airports, you know, our intel has to start talking to us a lot sooner than let's catch them in the air at the airport, because by that time it may be too late. Because they know you can't get on the plane, so now they just will take the terminal out. We won't take the plane out.
Okay. How would you evaluate President Obama's first year in office?
Bold, to say the least. I truly believe that he has moved in the right direction. He talked about health care during the health care reform during the campaign and moved forward. He talked about bringing nations together. And I truly see that he has tried to work to bring nations together. So if I can sum it up in one word, I would say bold. I believe that some of the questionable appointments and then the acting of some of those individuals may not have been as swift or as calculated as we would have liked. But I believe that his tenure on as the president has been one that that I can be proud of. Because, and then certainly after his State of the Union address, it really gave me a new energy. It gave even resolved to many of the questions that I had. And then he certainly cleared it up. You know, we are inheriting a lot of things. We inherited the fact that we gave billions of dollars to banks to bail them out. And now we need to fix that. You know, he talked a lot about those types of things. He, you know, His time on as a president has been the most recognized probably of our era, simply because he was the first black president. He was a president that received the Nobel Peace Prize within his first year on as the president, and so he got a lot of. He was under the microscope. I think a lot more than normal, but I believe that since he's been on under that microscope, he has performed. He's performed well.
Okay. You mentioned the bank bailouts. One other policy item that has been in the news lately has been proposals to add some taxes and regulations or fees to the banks. In some way, some of that is to recapture some of the money that was spent on the bailouts, and some of it is geared towards trying to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. Again, from a policy perspective, what approach do you want to see Congress take towards the big banks?
I'm a little torn because now I'm a businessman. I'm putting on my businessman hat in respect to, are we taxing banks to recoup the money that we gave them? And if that was the case, then we should have let them know that this is not a grant, but this is a loan, and we expect that you pay it back. And we monitor and watch them very closely, in respect to the money that they are doling out. Maybe we could have given them incentive. Maybe we could have given them points to know that for every dollar that we gave you, you can demonstrate to us that those dollars then went to the people in the area of small business loans or to help the John Q. citizen to refinance their homes. But that money went down to the people where the people are, because that's what the bailout was supposed to be for. Maybe if we would have given them points for that, we wouldn't have to tax them here. But I truly understand why we're feeling the need to tax, because if you can give to your presidents and vice presidents the large bonuses that you're now beginning to give again, but still the business owners that are still struggling because John Q. Citizen is keeping the money in their pocket and they need to stay afloat. Well, we bailed you out. Now it's time that you bail out the citizens that need you. Maybe we could have done something like that. Maybe we could still do something moving forward that would give the banks what they need, and that is a little push or a little prod. But certainly if they're still not doing that, then that's where the penalty comes in of now taxing you to another level if you're not giving the type of loans and refinance dollars and to the citizens that need that kind of help in order to stabilize. We can't just simply take care of the banks and the banks not take care of the people, because at the end of the day, that still keeps us in a recession. It has to trickle down. It has to make sure it touches the people. So my assessment is that I would be certainly more in favor of us looking at granting these types of points to the banks if they're in fact doing exactly what they're supposed to do for the people in the area of giving more loans, because that's what the money should have been used for in the first place.
Okay. As you know, back in 2003, congressional lines were redrawn a second time in the state of Texas at the behest of then-Congressman Tom DeLay. One of the effects of the redistricting was that a lot of senior members of the Texas delegation, Martin Frost, Charlie Stenham, Nick Lamson, were knocked out of office in the 2004 election. The incumbent you're running against, Sheila Jackson Lee, is now actually one of the more senior members of the Texas delegation, and a lot of what one can do in Congress is based on seniority. So I guess the question is, why should people why should people vote to replace a senior member of Congress when Texas currently doesn't have a whole lot of seniority in its congressional delegation otherwise?
I think when you look at experience is one thing, effectiveness is another. And I truly believe that we need a leadership that's in place that will be able to be effective. there is no secret that the incumbent has a very difficult time building relationships across the aisle and even with her colleagues. And so if you can't build relationships, if you have become so intrusive on your colleagues and members who are across the aisle, your experience is valueless. We need people who will be able to come in and sit at the table together and be on equal ground, equal footing, and have one commonality, and that is for the betterment of our region, the city of Houston, and then certainly our districts. And so that's what the 18th Congressional District needs, is a leadership that can be effective as opposed to just simply the experience. Experience comes. Experience comes. We'll learn, we'll grow, we'll listen, and I think that's why people need to vote for me, because what they understand and what they get in me is a strong, solid foundation of not an inexperienced elected official. I have been elected now 3 times, have the experience in working on city council and working in partisanship and bipartisanship venues, able to work together, collaborate, or negotiate, and even if necessary, fight against colleagues. But what we've been able to do is to simply work together to build a better District B, which is a better city of Houston, in which the 18th Congressional District sits. So again, the notion of why should people elect me to become the next representative is because I will bring the effectiveness that is needed.
All right. Councilmember Jarvis Johnson, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you, sir.